welcome. Thank you for joining us for episode 3 of Unapologetically Unashamed Presents Relational Breakdowns. I'm Athena Stewart, your host and facilitator. We are just so excited to bring this amazing topic. We had a chance to discuss it on the road, and man, it goes deep. We had some technical difficulties, but we are back. So those of you who are rejoining us, thank you for joining us. It's just how it goes down on the mountain of media.
Yeah.
Yes. Take some time and have Pam open us up in prayer, and then we'll go around and introduce the team. Go on.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you and we praise you. We give you all the glory, honor, praise, and adoration because you are good, graceful, gracious, merciful God you are. We just thank you, Father, that as we yield ourselves to your precious Holy Spirit, that you speak through us to the hearts of your people, Father. We decrease so the Holy Spirit on the inside of us can increase, that we speak to the hearts of the people, Father. Prepare the hearts and the minds of every single person that will tune in, that as they tune in, they hear something that will cause them to realize that these relational breakdowns cause us to think in certain ways. So we want to think differently, because when we hear things that we need to understand, we want to go out there and do those things. So Father, we thank you that we will say something because we're yielded to your Holy Spirit to speak to the hearts and the mind of the people. And we bind all technical difficulties.
On,
Father, we thank you that the airwaves are clear, Father, so that we can go forth and speak what it is that you want to get out there to your people. So we give you all the glory, honor, praise for the wonderful testimonies that we'll get from these series. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And I promise we're going to try to look at you more and not our electronic devices.
Blink, blink. Yes.
So excited. I'm Athena Stewart, CEO and founder of New Beginnings Empowerment Center Incorporated. Like I said previously, we are now a 501c3. Woo! That's a big deal in the nonprofit sector, so that you know IRS don't come after your money. Thank you, Lord, for protection. Go around and introduce the team.
Hey, I am Regina Kari Morales, and I'm from the Singles Advantage.
Hi, I'm Nashawn Holmes, and I'm the CEO of the Movement Conservatory Dance Ministry.
Hi, I am Pamela Thompson, the published author of the book From Tragedy to Triumph, and I will be the one to help you overcome all sorrow and grief or loss of any kind.
Hi, my name is Andrea Taylor. I'm a Christian life coach, a published author, and a motivational speaker. Thank you for being a part of our community, and we want to take this time to just welcome you and invite you in to have a great time with us tonight.
Amen.
Amen.
I just want to welcome all those who are jumping on. Lucretia, welcome. Thank you for jumping
on. Hey, girl.
Hey, girl. Hey, we got Angel who's on. Hey, Angel, we love you. Thanks. Thank you both for just jumping in and diving into the curriculum and the private community. Thank you for being a part of that. It's such a blessing. We're so excited. So excited. We got Mama D who's in studio.
Mama D!
And Steph. I thought I saw Leslie. Hi, Leslie. Thanks for joining us. Super, super, super excited about this topic, the crux. Wow. We are going to jump into some core origins. We got Pamela Gonzalez on. Thanks for joining, Pam. Appreciate it. I thought that was you for a minute. I was like, hey, Pam, girl, I ain't going to say hi to you right here. So we're going to have Nashawn, our narrator, go ahead and open us up in the opening scripture. We want to invite you to really be a part of the conversation. We're going to really dive into a very deep topic. And it's really going to force you to be real and authentic with yourself.
True.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus. So go ahead and read us that scripture, Nashawn.
Okay. Topic scripture comes from Genesis 3, verses 8 through 11, Amplified Version. And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool afternoon breeze of the day. So the man and his wife hid and kept themselves hidden from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord called to Adam, the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard the sound of you walking in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself." God said, "Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten fruit from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" First key point, identification of the crux in me. Now we must break down and examine and examine identification of our core issues and look at what that means individually, then collectively. Athena, what's your crux?
I said this previously, when I got this download for this project, which I love this relational breakdown series and all that's coming out of it. Yeah. I mean, it's really forced us as a team, collectively and individually, to really look at ourselves,
really,
right?
Absolutely.
I mean, in all aspects. Yes. I mean, we've had conversations on different levels, whether it was just me and Pam or me and Sean or me and Regina or Andre. There's just been so many different conversations just on this series. So when Holy Spirit was dealing with me about my crux, I was on my way to work. And I was listening to a podcast. It's important what you feed yourself.
Yes.
Right? Whether it's television, whether it's your music, feed yourself things that are going to pull out the very things that Holy Spirit is trying to highlight. So I'm sorry to go off on a tangent, but I think it's important to state we can't identify these things unless we are really putting ourselves in a position for Holy Spirit to teach us and to show us about ourselves. So as I was driving to work, he brought up the word crux. And crucible, two words, crux and crucible. We're gonna look at the crux today. And he said, Athena, your crux is shame. And that was deep. And I live in my testimony for this series because it's important. And I feel like that shame came from being sexually assaulted when I was 5. But the shame didn't set in until I realized what was going on was wrong. Because at 5, I didn't realize that was wrong. It didn't make sense. And I remember on one occasion, my father got out of prison and I was living with my grandmother and he came over to give me a hug and I began to want to kiss him in a passionate way, right? Wow. Because we had this relationship going on in my mind and people were in the room and I could notice his body language was different. Wow. It was more rejection and instantly shame set in. Because it was like my eyes were open that what we have been doing had not been right.
Wow.
That's deep. We can talk about that in the car. Wow. That just came back to me. Wow. That was a deep one. Mm-hmm. This is the purpose of the conversation.
Absolutely.
It's just real talk. Real talk, but it's a necessary conversation.
Absolutely.
So if we were to go around and just kind of highlight what our crux is, let's give the people something to speak on.
My crux, rejection.
Yeah.
As a child, not wanted.
Yeah.
My mother was on, what do they call it? Abortion watch.
Mm.
And even at 6 years old, I found out when I got older that my mother had started the plans of giving me up for adoption when I was 6. I mean, she actually paperwork and she was about to cross the T and dot the I and give me to someone else because she thought that, you know, I can't do this. I can't do this kid. And it started all the other, it was the core issue and everything else spun off from that. The people pleasing, the becoming a chameleon.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah.
Becoming whatever somebody else wanted me to be just so that I would be included or felt like I belonged.
That's good.
Mine was rejection.
Wow, rejection. How many of you can identify with shame and rejection? I mean, just think about it. Is that maybe your crux? How many of you have really thought about your crux? We'll let Regina kind of let us know what her crux is, and then the other two ladies, and we'll just kind of open the floor for you all to really think about this topic.
Well, the crux that I carried, they brought me so much heartache and pain, was the ability to not use my voice to speak my truth and to say no. And it stems from being sexually assaulted at 12. And then I told my mother who told me not to tell my father. And so with that, being a 12-year-old, being traumatized and not knowing how to carry that and not getting counseling and the police wasn't called, I took on the garment of shame and blame and worthlessness.
Wow.
And I carried that throughout my life, being a people pleaser. And of course, that never goes well when you're a people pleaser.
Yeah. And my crux was low self-worth and false identity. And that stemmed from me not having my father in my life. It made me feel like if he didn't want to be in my life, like how worthy was I? Not understanding that I was believing the lie that the enemy was placing in me, making me think that it was based upon a person, or if he was there, would it have been any different? I don't know, but I just believe the lie that my self-worth was tied up into my father, when in actuality that was not the truth. But because I believe that lie, it caused me to diminish who I was. I always felt like people could say things that they shouldn't say or do things, and it was because, well, you're not worthy anyway, because he didn't want to be around. So I carried that for so long until one day I had to realize, like, I remember waking up one day and was like, you matter. But because I believed the lie of the enemy that everything that I was to be was tied up into whether or not my father was in my life, that was not the truth. But I walked with that, and I allowed some things that I shouldn't have because of that false lens of the enemy whispering into my ear, just like he did with Eve. It's, what is he saying to you that's causing you to believe some lie that he's telling, just like she did? He was telling her, you know, you won't, you'll be just like God. And she like, oh, I can be just like God. And then he told her, you won't die if you eat the fruit. You won't die. But in actuality, it wasn't a physical death, but it was a spiritual death. And so the same thing happened with me. I believed that lie, and therefore I walked in some things that I shouldn't have.
Come on. So good.
That is good. Again, just listening to the ladies, I can think of so many core issues that I think all played a part. And the biggest one for me was trust. And trust, again, it was just the root of everything else that came. Rejection being one, but not completely understanding it in the fullness, because it was disguised through my grandparents taking care of me, really stepping in for my father. So when Pam talked about, you know, not having your father in your life, it was misconstrued for me mentally because I had my grandfather in my life. But when I think about it, by the time I turned 18 and started trying to figure everything out, I started going, you know, in my mind going, okay, God, I see my father being a father to my sister, but I don't see that with me. And just wanting to ask that question to him, and then building the courage up to ask him those questions. Wow. And having him, you know, take that deep breath and try to really explain it when he really didn't have no idea. So as an adult now in my 40s, because you say you're 18, you're an adult, but now in my 40s, and I believe we'll get into this later on, but I'm able to now realize, you know, through everything that's gone on and through my trust issues, I needed to learn how to create boundaries, because it wasn't so much that I had issues with myself, you know, when it comes to your self-worth and your self-value, but really just trying to understand the relational breakdown between my father and myself.
Wow.
So that's,
yeah. Wow. Powerful. Some deep stuff up in here.
Yeah.
Just had to take a moment to breathe. I want to, as we take a moment to breathe, I want to welcome, we have so many people coming on. Thank you all for joining. Carrie Kites, we love you.
Woo! Carrie!
Thank you. Carrie is our sponsor for the month of October.
Yes.
We are so grateful,
yes.
Carrie.
Thank you,
Carrie. You have made this conversation possible, so we thank you for blessing us and just believing in us. Thank you, Carrie, Daughters of the King. Janice Lewis, hey, girl. We got Rhonda on, Angela Phillips, Tamala. Angel said, teach me and show me, Holy Spirit. Angela said, God bless you, Daughters of the King. Thank you for that. Rhonda says, hello. Tamala says, it is important what you feed your spirit.
Amen. Yes.
That's your, what you want? Tamala. Yes. Hey, Tamala girl. Love your sister. I love your sister. Hi, twin. We got Margaret on. We got Angela Wright on. We got Sammy Johnson, Pastor Sammy from the Worship Center. Hello. Hey, man to the man. We got Carissa on. We got Charlene watching, Veronica, Christina, Jen.
Nice.
Thank you all for joining us.
Invite some others to come share it.
It's your signal. We expose our crux. We love to see some of your comments on what you may have identified your crux as being, something that you may have struggled with. And remember, the crux, we're really trying to identify the crux because everything else stems from that, right? All of those bad habits, right? So if I had to give you a visual of a crux, the one thing Holy Spirit brought to my attention on that drive at work when he was teaching me about crux is a pearl. And so he took me at the bottom of the ocean where the clam or the oyster has not yet developed in a sense of a pearl. And so there's an agitation that's added to that component of the oyster. And so just like your immune system, which you got white blood cells and infections, things like that, when something, that irritation gets in, or when you're introduced or you have that trauma or that experience that we'll consider an irritation, the mechanism of the oyster is to engulf it or encapsulate it or surround it, kind of what you do when you experience trauma. You begin to put it in the back of your mind, right? Yeah. That defense mechanism, so that you don't have to live through the reality of what your body is experiencing, what your psyche or your emotions is experiencing. So the same way with the pearl, because of that agitation, because of that trauma, that negative experience, it begins to engulf the irritation. And through the process of time, it begins to develop into a pearl. And so I was like, wow, Holy Spirit, that's amazing. Yes. So just like that process of a pearl, we have to go through the process of purification. And that's where the crucible comes in. The crucible is the additive. It's the positive that needs to meet that negative. And when those two collide, there's that difficult process of purification and sanctification that we have to walk through. First, we got to identify the crux. We got to recognize it. We have to own up to it, that it's a reality, and then we have to allow Holy Spirit through surrender to take us through the process of deliverance. And that looks different for everybody, but we have to identify. So the purpose of this conversation tonight is identify your crux, identify your core issue, go back to where the trauma, go back to where the negative experience took place, and let's work back from there.
Yes.
With Holy Spirit. Yes. Amen?
Yes. Amen.
So we're going to let our narrator continue. We'll come in and read your comments as you give them. We love you all for watching. Thanks for the thumbs up, Tamala. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
If we look at the identification of our core issue, it would mean to become aware of and to understand the core issue. Question: are you willing to do the work to explore your very core issues that have evolved through relational breakdowns, or even multiple relational breakdowns by way of generational curses? If I can say, it's imperative. It's a must. If you want to be free, you have to want to do the work.
Yeah.
That's all I want to say.
Bring this mic closer. Yeah. Listen. Surrender is a choice. Mm-hmm. And it's not enough for us to go to church. It's not enough for us to join small groups. It's not enough for us to read books and watch videos if we're not willing to surrender to the process. We have to make a choice. The one thing that God gave us that he gave no other mammal on this earth is choice. Your dog can't make a choice. That ground beef, before it becomes ground beef, that cow can't make no choice, right? Nothing can make choices but us. So in that power, in that gift that God has given us, came responsibility.
Yes.
And so I've identified my crux of shame. Now I have a choice to make.
There.
I can live in it, which is beneath what God has for me, in all of the negative habits that come from that, in all of the twisted behavior that stems from that, or I can say, Holy Spirit, I recognize it. I recognize the accusations of the accuser because of it. I recognize that it's a generational curse that didn't start with me, but is gonna stop with me. Mm-hmm. And I surrender to you. Right. And I go through whatever that process looks like. I don't care who says what about me. I don't care who thinks what about me. I'm going to surrender to the process. And in the process, I'm still gonna do what you tell me to do.
Amen.
Because I don't have to be perfect to move in the name of the Lord. I don't have to be perfect and completely free from the process move through the Spirit of God.
That's right.
Let's just get that right. Yes. You don't have to be free to open your mouth and be empowered to empower other people.
Amen.
Let's just say,
and let,
come on.
And let, and let's just, and let, let's say this.
Let's say
early on, because this is a 12-week series.
We're
in the third episode. But let me say this. This is not about us sharing our hearts, being transparent, and you not benefiting from it.
Come on.
And what I mean by that is, I remember getting to the point where I had gained so much weight that I needed to make a change. But I would sit in front of the TV and watch the exercise videos instead of putting in the work to do them.
Come on.
So what we're not going to do, if I'm looking at everybody out there, what we not gonna do is let you sit out there and spectate and not participate.
Come on.
If you want change,
if
you want freedom and liberty, and you want your relationships to go to a healthy place and to the next place, we gonna do the work. We're gonna do what we're supposed to do, but we're gonna need you to do what you need to do.
Because believe it or not, when that Facebook Live goes down, we're back in the relational breakdown process.
That
and we have been living it individually,
we
and we've been talking about it together. Whether it's our health being attacked, whether it's our relationship and our families, we have definitely been living this thing. Let me unlock this for Miss Nashawn Holmes in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We are definitely living this, so we encourage you. I want to read some of the comments because we have some really transparent, and I thank you for those of you who are being transparent.
Thank you so much. We appreciate
Join us
all.
In the conversation because we are pouring out in the hopes that it releases someone else, in the hope that it empowers someone else to say, well, if they can do it, so can I.
Absolutely.
And so Carrie Kike says, you are worthy and matter. All of you who are watching that feels like you don't have a voice or you haven't had a voice up until now, you are worthy and you matter. And what you have to say matters. And if it's just to us, it matters, because if you're saying it to us, you're saying it unto the Lord, and he hears you and he's there for you and he wants to deliver you from that thing. Amen. Christina says, we hit on a few levels. From being raped and feeling shame, afraid of reporting it, not having my dad in my life from age 5, to growing up with my mother who rejected and beat me at a young age. So rejection, shame, and trust issues. Wow.
That's my life.
Wow. We love you. We love you, Christina, and our heart breaks for you.
Yes.
Regina, she definitely can attest to your testimony.
Absolutely.
That's her life. She says that's her life. This is what it's about. We ain't here doing this alone. But Christina, just as Regina's here and she's created something out of that pain, we encourage all of you who haven't to feel that pain and that hurt into something positive.
Yeah.
Because you are an expert on the situation that you've experienced.
Wow.
That
Absolutely.
Someone else doesn't have the answer. And
Absolutely.
Only you can bring that to the light. Wow.
Amen.
Wow.
Wow.
Tamala says, hey y'all, hey girl, hey. We got Angela Alvarado. We got Dee Brown. Hey, Dee, how are you? Dee's an amazing author, and she's a life coach as well.
Hi, Dee.
Dee Brown says, this is good, sis. Each of you shared a piece of my crust.
Wow.
So good. And that's why you writing your second book. It's out already. See what happens when you share the crust. Look at God. We got Angela said, I am going to make the choice. Come on, Angela.
Praise God, Angela.
You made the choice when you joined the private community.
Amen
to the man. We give you a hand clap for that. Make the choice.
Yeah. Make the choice.
You never regret. I don't regret making the choice at all. Tamla says, my crux is limiting beliefs that cause me to draw back when going in the direction of success in every area. Wow.
Worthiness.
Last episode. That's good, Tamla, because we self-sabotage.
Right? We do.
That poverty mindset that when you go in a direction, you feel inadequate because of the poverty mindset. And then you begin to, like she said, you self-sabotage and you don't go in that direction. You make a detour. You remember, get out? Get out. But don't get out. Right. Keep in the trajectory, even though it seems scary, even though it seems uncomfortable, it seems abnormal. Stay in the trajectory that Holy Spirit has you in. If you're watching this show, He's trying to align you with the direction that He has for your life. It's not by chance that you're following us. It's not by chance that you're part of the conversation. So stay the course. A to the man. Mm-hmm. Come on, Tamla. That's your sister, girl. Angela says, I'm making the choice. Help me, Holy Spirit, and He will. Amen.
Yes, he will.
Heather's on, Wanda's on, Jen is on. I'm going to come back to the comments. We're going to keep going, and we'll keep having this conversation. So good.
Yes.
Free. Second key point, acknowledgement of the... Oh, we did that one. No. Mm-mm. No, we didn't. Acknowledgement of the crux in me.
Mm-hmm.
Now we must break down and examine and acknowledge... examine the acknowledgement of our core issues and look at what that means individually, then collectively. To acknowledge is to accept the existence of the core issue as an issue.
Mm.
Question, are you willing to surrender by way of vulnerability to explore the necessary steps to hope through healing? What might doing your work look like to you at this particular point? So let me read that again. Are you willing to surrender by way of vulnerability to explore the necessary steps to hope through healing? What might doing your work look like to you at this particular point?
So that's twofold, right? First, I need to identify my crux in me, right? I need to look at that thing and say, I do have a problem. It's kind of like addiction. I got to say I have an addiction before I can even move forward in the process, right?
That's right.
And so if you're willing to identify that there is an issue that you haven't addressed, and this goes from preachers in the pulpit to people in Congress, if we got an issue, it doesn't matter what your title is, it doesn't matter your position in life, it doesn't matter what your economic status is. There's a crux that we all have, and if you haven't dealt with your crux, you are living beneath what God has for you. So you have to be willing to say that I have a crux.
That's right.
It is such. And then you have to be open to exploring what is the process to healing through that crux, through the identification and the acceptance of what it is. Not that you're gonna live in it, not that you're gonna wallow in it, but that you are willing to expose the enemy and his lies and his tactics that he has used in your life. Then you have to be open to doing the work.
Mm-hmm.
Holy Spirit, what does that work look like for me?
Mm-hmm.
What does it look like? Do I need to pray and fast once a week? Yes, you do. We talked about that last week.
Yeah, we did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, put the food down, the chicken, the hot wings.
The Pepsi,
the red vines. the Choco Tacos. Anybody like Choco Tacos?
What is that?
It's ice cream.
What is that?
So good. I'm sorry.
Y'all.
I digress. But we have to be willing to do the work. Are you willing to do the work? I remember watching Ayana Van Zandt, and she would make people do the work. She'd set the stage and create the atmosphere or the environment, and then she would give them practical tools to do the work.
Steps.
And it was something about having to dive in, and those steps, those tools, And Andrea could probably attest to this because she got some tools for you to make you look at yourself and say, things that make you go.
And I would like to add to that.
Come on.
Because obviously, as a life coach, I am learning as well how to apply what I'm teaching to myself. So when I had to really look back last year, in January, we're going to be approaching a year when my father had his heart transplant. And just all the, there was some setbacks with the pacemakers. And because he is married, his wife was kind of she was like the go-between. So I didn't really have all the access to him once he was in the hospital. But then when he was at home and needing prayer, then I had all of that accessibility. So being able to pray with him and lead him to Christ and all these different things did come out of that. But when he did get the heart, and I'm so excited he got the heart transplant. It was after 2 years. It was a long wait. But then to only be able to talk to him through FaceTime that night, not being invited to the hospital, being his oldest daughter, and having to like process all that and still be the bigger person. You know, I can tell you my flesh was not feeling that. My flesh was like, it was ready to rise up, you know? And when we talk about the trust issues and the toning down of the voice, you know, all those triggers came into play from when I was this 7-year-old kid dealing with his wife. Now as a 40-something-year-old woman dealing with everyone that played a role, not just my father and his wife, but now my grandmother, my auntie, everyone played a role, you know. And so when he got the release from the hospital and came home after, you know, a month or so, I didn't know. No one told me that he was home. And so the trigger that really, you know, it just, you know, God has a way of showing you things. So when I just happened to call my auntie and say, hey, can you pick up my son from school? I'm running late. I get to the house to pick him up, and I asked where my grandmother was, and everyone just kind of just dispersed, like they just left really fast, you know. And then I realized my grandfather was upstairs in his room, so my husband and I go upstairs. And long story short, I find out that my dad is home, my grandmother is with my father, and I had no idea that he was there. So to hear my grandfather say, oh, your dad is home, you get that big lump in your throat, like, wow. And I didn't even know, you know? And then sit there and just keep my composure, you know? So again, and I want to get to the back end of this, because what actually made me spiral out and say something was when I was walking out of my grandfather's room and my auntie's husband come up the stairs and he goes, hey, Andrea, you see your dad? And he's Nigerian. Hey, Andrea, you see your dad? You know, and I'm like, no. Well, you know he's home, right? No, I didn't know he was home. Oh my God, Andrea, oh my God, I don't know. And then I'm like, yeah, and you get this smile and you walk out, and then I wake up at 5 a.m. to see my uncle out of Germany post pictures for National Daughter's Day with my dad and my sister, with him coming out and all this. So it was a process, but in that moment, I said, okay, Andrea, as a life coach, everything that you've taken and all the skill sets and everything that you have, you should be able to now confront the elephant in the room in a loving way and set boundaries and let everyone know that I'm ready to deal with this now. And if you're not ready to deal with this now, then I cannot continue to subject myself to this toxic relationship.
Good skills.
So I had to send it was like 5 a.m. I sent a text to my grandmother, my dad, and my auntie. And I let them know in a loving way what they meant to me and what they still mean to me to this day. But if they're not ready to deal with it, I can't go on. I never heard from anyone for months. So again, releasing that on one end was like liberating, right? Because I was able to do it and express to them, this has caused me to get outside of my character. This has made me feel angry. And I don't like that. I don't like that. So just moving from there, and I have received phone calls from my grandmother. We haven't spoken yet. It was through text, and it was more like, where you been? And it was me having to circle back and say, I sent out a text months ago.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys forgot, but no one called to check on me to see how I was doing. You know, and again, so God is good because at the end of the day, I have peace and I still love him, but I still had to put into practice what I teach.
Right.
And because of I'm better. And because of it, I'm ready to deal with them when they're ready and right. still move forward.
That's okay. good.
Yeah.
And so there's two things I heard, rejection, mm-hmm. right? And being able to work through rejection. So when we identify the crux and we surrender to the process, it doesn't mean that we're not going to come up against opposition, mm-hmm. that we're not going to feel the blows that it's going to take to get through the storm.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get the tools and you get the know-how,
yes.
right? You get the understanding,
yeah.
then you now have to apply them.
That's good.
Right? That means that you yeah. now have to be responsible
yes.
and accountable while this in the process
stuff.
On how you respond
mm-hmm.
to the situation, circumstances, people, whatever that looks like for you. This is good.
This
I'm
is
looking
good.
At the time. I'm like, oh, Lord Jesus, 5:52. Yes, go ahead, Pam. Go ahead. Go ahead, Pam.
So when I think about answering that question, I was just thinking about me having the low self-esteem I had.
Yeah.
But I had to understand that if I didn't confront the situation or identify the crux, then I wasn't going to conquer anything.
Right.
So what it looked like for me was mm-hmm. I called my dad
wow.
and I asked him, why weren't you around?
Mm.
And it was led by the Holy Spirit. And because it was led by the Holy Spirit, I know that the Holy Spirit had already prepared his heart so that when I told him, because I prayed about it, because I wanted to know.
Yeah.
And so when he told me, I was like, wow, he said the life that I was living was not conducive to children. So I just opted to stay away
wow.
so that I would not subject you guys to the life that I was living.
Yeah.
But see, what the enemy does is he wants us to believe the lie.
That's
that because
right.
what he was telling me was when you call him, he gonna go off and he gonna be mad and he's going to do this. But what the Holy Spirit showed me was, it gives us a level of let your dad off the hook, because it was not the fact that he was not there that caused you to have that low self-esteem. It was your thinking that, because you believe the lie of the enemy. So I was able to not say, you know, my dad caused me this, and this in my life. Because as some people have different circumstances, I'll just say this is in my circumstance, because if they're abusive and those types of things, it will look a little bit different.
Right, right.
But the devil was wanting me to think that he gonna be mad at you and you can't ask that. You can't ask that. It's been this many years. You just need to let it go. But I had to ask, and I thank God that I asked. That he felt so bad, because he was like, I really thought I was protecting you because my life was a mess.
Wow.
And had I brought you into that, who knows what would have happened.
Yeah.
So what the devil meant for bad, God made for good, because mm-hmm. I felt a level of peace. But I was like, wow, he did care.
Yes,
because
right.
he cared That's enough good. To remove himself because of what he was doing. Not saying that that was right, but the Holy Spirit let me know, you can let him off the hook. Now you don't have to blame him for whatever did or did not happen, or even blame him for me having low self-esteem, because to be honest, it was also generational. But I believe that lie. So my whole life I was thinking that's what caused me to have low self-worth and low self-esteem. But it was also a generational curse in my family, because most of the women in my family had it.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, I came to a level of truth and a level of understanding that. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
When we yield ourselves to him, we really come out on the better
That's
end.
Yeah,
That's
we
right.
do. That's so
that
good.
Is good.
That's so
That's
good.
Right.
And, you know, even identifying your crux, if that's a person, you know, you have to be open to the various reactions or responses in the process.
Mm-hmm.
I remember going through the process of forgiveness
mm-hmm.
with my father.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted him to admit
mm-hmm. yeah.
what had taken place, and he wouldn't do it. So I held my forgiveness
Come on.
Until mm-hmm. you gave me what
Come
I felt
on.
I needed to give you that wasn't it.
Yes.
And so Holy Spirit had to work on me with
yeah.
that thing. And so it came a point where it was like you agreed to disagree. that I forgive you regardless, because I'm releasing myself from this trust. Yeah. I'm releasing myself from the power of this thing, and I'm taking my power back.
Thank you.
So I'm going to love you anyhow. Amen. And so we have to get to a point in the process that no matter what it looks like, we have to be willing to just let them go. Release the person, the situation, so that we can then be better. I want to read some of the comments. We have Jen on, we have Wanda, we have Heather. Christina says, Jen says, hey ladies. Christina says, hey babe. Christina says, I feel the Holy Spirit has helped me to reach out to other women. Amen. Amen. That's what it's about. It's about serving others. It's about showing others the way. Jen says, I need breakthrough from exactly what you're talking about.
Amen. Praise God. Praise
and that's God. Why we're here, Jen. We encourage you to join the private community. Yes. Reach out to us by emailing relationalbreakdowns@gmail.com. We have some amazing tools and resources within the community to help you receive that breakthrough, from life coach tools to grief tools to intimacy with Holy Spirit, worship, and if you're single, and even if you're not, tools to be single in the kingdom where you can really find your true identity in Christ. So good, Jen. We hope to hear from you. Angel says, yes! She got the exclamation. Sorry, I had to say it like you posted. Tamala says, yes, we must acknowledge that there is a problem, and how do we deal with it, right? We got to acknowledge and then ask the questions. How do I deal with this, Holy Spirit? And then you have to have wise counsel. You have to have people who are in tune with God, who can say this, no, not that. Yes, that, no, not this. And then proceed with caution. We have Alana on. We have Athena on. Hey, Tammy, how are you? Miss you, girl. Dee Brown says, we too have to protect our peace, even if we have to protect it with family. Thanks for sharing that, Andrea. Come on, protect your peace, even from the people. Because the people will wear you out. They'll cause you to drink liquor, I'm trying to tell you.
Because sometimes you might have to separate yourself from some people, even if it's family. And that is okay. And people need to know that it's okay. It's okay. Some people that you can forgive, but you do not have to allow them back into your lives, especially if they're abusive, physically, emotionally, socially, however they are. Yeah. There are some people that just will not be in your life, and you have to be okay with it.
Yeah.
Right.
Being saved, being a Christian, that false lens that because we serve God that we have to interact with everyone is a false lens. It's a trick to get you into unhealthy environments and then partake on that. Yes. No, you forgive that thing and you agree to disagree and then you just walk away. Yeah. There are people in my family who I don't deal with or I don't communicate with, not because I feel some type of way, but I know that being around or interacting with you is unhealthy for me.
Same.
And in my season of vulnerability where I'm in a process, I'm not healthy enough to be around you.
Real.
It's like if I'm a crackhead. Yeah. I ain't gonna go to the crack house. Right? I mean, I forgive you crack dealer,
insanity.
Crack cocaine. Listen, but I'm going to stay away because I know I want to hit. And
right.
So, if you curse a lot and the family just curse like sailors,
you're
going to put yourself in that environment. Next thing you know, it's going to be a
Do not cast your pearls on swine.
So we did the identification of the crux in me. We did acknowledgement of the crux in me. Now it's recognition.
Come on.
Of the crux in me. Now we must break down and examine our core issues. Look what that means individually, then collectively to recognize.
Yeah.
Question.
Tamala, I see you. I'm going to respond. Tamala says, forgive even when there is no remorse or apology or explanation. Come on.
That's right.
It is not predicated on an answer. Amen. Forgiveness is simply you releasing yourself from that thing.
Amen.
That's it. Yeah.
Question. Now that you have identified, acknowledged, and recognized your core issues, what does your core issue look like if given a name, face, color, or even smell? So it's like giving it an avatar or an emoji.
I love that.
That's great.
I need some emojis, y'all. I don't think they got the emoji for my crux.
They have one.
I don't think they got it.
It's a pile of
you know.
When you put crap in, that would be my emoji, the big old pile of crap. You know, the big smelly one, the one that got hairs and stuff hanging out. Y'all have to walk in some farms. You see some stuff, my crux. Yes. You know, but I remember, here's how I identify my crux. And I think about it, because when Holy Spirit brought this up to me, I remember my first extern right out of being a medical assistant school. And I guess it was an initiation process. Mm-hmm. So you go with the doctor on the nastiest case. And so this was a repeat patient.
Oh boy.
And so the tumor was in her vaginal parts. Yeah. And so I go into the room and I'm not ready. And the doctor says, Athena, come here, I want to teach you.
Oh boy.
You can teach me from a distance. I can hear and see. And he makes me get right in between and look in there. So I'm not thinking to cover my nose. I'm not thinking, what am I getting ready to see? Right? And I get in position and he's like, do you see the tumor? And I take an inhale, just, you know.
Oh Lord.
And it slaps me in my face. I swear for God, it's one of them wraparound slaps where it come around and just hit you all in your face. And so the tumor was the most disgusting thing I had ever seen. It had pus, it had pockets of hair and fragment. I'm just saying, this is what my crux looks like to me, and it stank. It slapped me in the face.
Thank you for being transparent.
Come through, Holy Spirit.
Oh, it's ugly like that.
It's horrible like that. And the enemy is so sneaky that he don't tell you what it looked like. You walk around funky and you think your stuff is cute, right?
There you go.
You think you got it going on, but no, you got a big old hairy stanky tumor. You need to put on that thing.
Goodness.
If you could see yourself in the spirit.
Come
on.
Wow.
Right? We dress up this exterior and we walking around, got our weaves done, got our eyelashes on, got the lipstick that don't smear. Yes, we do. Right?
Some
got
your Louis Vuitton
lipstick on, right, your LVs. If you can see yourself in the spirit,
what does it look like?
That crux, that core thing in the spirit, really, what would that look like? See, we don't operate enough in the spirit to see the reality of the thing, right? So we are superficial. We walk on the surface, and God is like, no, come deeper. No, let me open your eyes so that you can see. Let me open your nose so that you can smell, discern. Let me open your ears so that you can hear what's really being said in the spirit, both by God and by the enemy. Let me open your sense of touch so that you can feel that thing in a real way.
You know, I just want to say something to that, because we're talking about the five senses, and mine's a smell. And so as I was doing our curriculum this weekend, I was looking at a video about smell and what it means in the spiritual world. And this lady who was in the medical world, RN, was working in the ER, and a mother came in pregnant and delivered a baby by C-section. The baby was born with a foul smell.
Wow.
And she said it was so strong that she said, this baby needs to be tested to make sure it doesn't have disease, any diseases. They test the baby. The baby has no diseases, but her parents worshiped Satan and had all the tattoos, and she believed in her spirit that the baby had been dedicated to Satan.
Wow.
And so she said what Satan didn't know is that the baby's first encounter would be with a Christian.
Yeah. Praise
and
the
she
Lord.
Prayed she prayed over the baby.
Praise
that the baby would be the first to lead his family to Christ.
Amen.
And so
go ahead, look
senses,
at God.
There is a distinctive smell.
Wow.
You know, both with God and with Satan.
Yeah.
With God, you know, when you talk about sacrificing and when we worship and when we pray, it goes up like an incense to God, to Jesus. And then when it's Satan, it's a foul smell. So just what you just great description of the tumor. The tumor. I too was a medical assistant and went in the room with the OBGYN for a surgery. And
it's bad.
Wow.
And that's so good.
Wow.
You know, in the private community, we're teaching on the five spiritual senses, because in relational breakdowns, we have to be in touch with our spirituality. We have to be in touch and operate from from the heavenly places. The word of God says we are seated in heavenly places next to Jesus. And Jesus is seated next to the Father, interceding on our behalf. So if we're seated in heavenly places, that means that we're above the atmosphere. That means that we're above the chaos. But in our carnality, in our physical form, we spend too much time in the chaos and in the atmosphere, opposed to being above it. And I remember us being in our small group on Thursday, and a woman said, in a dream, God took me on a high mountain, and I began to see him and angels move through all of the chaos, and then he injected color into his very being, and then I began to see this blue just move all throughout the chaos. What would it look like if God, if we would allow God to use us, if we would allow and surrender the Holy Spirit and walk in the Spirit of God and see ourselves as that color moving through the chaos, knowing exactly where not to stand and where to stand. The word of God says it will be me speaking in your ear from the left. No, go to the right. Yeah, not behind you, yeah, in front of you. What does that look like to be led and guided by Holy Spirit day in and day out? What would that look like? Jesus. Tamala says, Jesus, this is good. Yeah, I'm feeling the anointing. Thank God for the air conditioning. Yeah. D says, wow. Tamala says, what an aroma do you leave? What aroma do you leave?
Yes, the aroma.
The smell that you leave behind. If you could smell in the spirit,
that's right.
You go into church and you're well dressed to the nine, but what is your spiritual smell?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it a stench?
Come on. Is it that's a stench
sweet,
or a sweet aroma?
Come
sweet
on.
Aroma. And what does that look like going up to the Father?
There you go.
Come on, for all of these religious people who are wearing these religious lenses and operating without the power thereof, what do we smell like to the Father when we go in our prayer closet or our war room, or when we go to the altar, or when we go to worship God in church, but we're not living that thing? What does that smell like to Abba?
Blood.
That's right. Wow.
What's crying out? Blood on your hands. Man.
Jesus.
Help me, Father.
Yes, Father. So let me.
Father, we just ask that you would just open our eyes, open our ears, open our smell, open our taste and our touch, Father God, that we would know what we're doing to ourselves, God, that we would begin to reform, that we would begin to really just look at the crux, Father God, because we want to be right, we want to be whole, we want to be blessed, we want to be prosperous, Father God, but it takes us looking at the stuff, Father, the stuff that we don't want to deal with, the stuff that is difficult. Help us, Father God, to help ourselves, Father God. Give us the hunger for surrender in you, Lord God, that we can be better first and then help those around us, Father God. Just like on the airline, take the oxygen for yourself first and then help those around you. Help us, God.
Good.
Yes. Go, man.
Yes,
Jesus.
So when I think about my crux and the color, it had the face of my Father. But this is how the enemy does us. My color was black. And it looked like death. And I think about my mom telling me and my twin sister that the enemy had been trying to kill us. She had us early, so we were like 2 pounds each when we were born.
Wow.
And now I'm just sitting here, and the Holy Spirit is showing me how everything that I wrote about the color, it smelled like death. It was just such a horrible stench. And I think about him trying to kill me. But even so, I think about in the death of my daughter, he was also trying to kill me even in that. So it was black and it was dark. But because of the light of Jesus Christ that I held on to, even when I was younger, I've been in church my whole life. I didn't really have a relationship with God, but I knew there was a God. And I just think about, I had a praying grandmother as well. Those praying grandmothers, they will pray you through some things. But I look at when I wrote down that color, and Holy Spirit is like, he has been trying to kill you for a long time. But what he didn't understand was, I was right there.
That's right.
Even when you were born, I was right there. I had my hand on you, and I was there. When he says he never leaves us or forsakes us, I'm thinking about this black color, and I can like see it, and my senses touch. And he is telling me that because of my touch on you, mm-hmm. now you will be able to touch those that have to deal with death in such a way that it is my touch through you, yeah. that you're going to touch and feel their infirmities, and you're going to feel what they feel. God. But when you touch them in me, deliverance and freedom is at hand. I remember dealing with a friend of mine when she lost her daughter. And the Holy Spirit told me, when you encounter her, just hug her and hold her. And I'm going to touch her through you. And when I did that, I can't even explain to people the exchange. Even for me, feeling him fill me up. And then when I touched her, my God, God just shows us.
It's so good. And so even in that story, even in that testimony, it shows you that there's a necessity in the crux.
There's a necessity in the crux.
Wow. There's purpose in our pain. I can't tell you how many women I hug and the anointing is transferred through that exchange, through that interaction. But it would not be so if I didn't identify the crux, if I didn't lay down to the process, if I didn't go in the war room day in and day out and cry out to God, do the work, stay on my face hours at a time, seeking his face, saying, create in me a clean heart and renew my spirit within me, Father. God. I'm not completely delivered or completely whole, but you see me as such. No. So because you see me as such, help me to align myself with that, God. Father God. Yes. Help me to walk in the spirit. Help me to walk in your presence, God. Yes. Teach me what it is to be in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. What does that look like to move and be in Christ?
That's right. Mm-hmm. My God.
Wow.
We got any more pieces?
I got one more. I had something to say. And it just came to me, too, because I didn't have a color, but a broken heart bleeds.
Come on.
And that was my crutch. Because of my brokenness, I bled red. And then my behavior trickled down to children and unborn children. So my crux color is blood.
Wow. And that reminds me of Cain and Abel. When that blood is spilled out, it cries out to God.
Yes.
But what is your crux crying out to the Father? Yeah. What is it demanding from God? Our cruxes are demanding something from God. This is why things aren't going right in your life. This is why it doesn't seem to get better. This is why, does this keep happening to me, Father? Why can't I just get, because you've got to do the work. Yes. Identify the crux because it's crying out to the Father. Go ahead with the next one.
Fourth key point, perpetuating the cycle.
The
steps into our core issues are imperative to moving forward through hope into healing. Without taking these steps, and the necessary action leads to perpetual cycles of dysfunction in our homes, children, spouses, and churches, which is what you ladies just said. We treat the nucleus or source of our problems as taboo, never to be spoken of. And if someone gets too close to that coveted core issue, we become defensive and shut down and build impenetrable walls, further partnering with the enemy's lie funneled into our lives by way of complacency and the lives of those around us through example. Question.
Before we even ask that question, we have to stop protecting the crux. We have to stop acting like we can't have these conversations because we go to God. Listen, I went to a comedy show last night, and the one thing that bothered me out of the whole show, and it was amazing, Shell T, girl, you did your thing. But this young gentleman came on stage, and he sings rap to the Father. I don't listen to rap. It drives me cray to the Z, okay, because I don't understand. But it was his form of worship to Abba. The fact that we are so holy and we are so well put together that people sat in their seat during the first song and act like they couldn't move their head. We had two people who walked out. And I'm thinking, where are we? I mean, you really got your whole crux together to the fact that you can be judgmental to other people, refusing to look at yourself. Wow. And so we have to stop protecting our crutch. We have to stop walking in religion as if we are better than, or as if we have arrived. God says that this work that he's doing in us It's going to be until Jesus comes and returns and cracks the clouds.
Wow.
So he's perfecting until the end, until that day of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the word. Mm-hmm. So if you saw Jesus before me, please let me know. Because last time I checked, he ain't came back yet.
No.
He has not.
Is that right?
He's on his way.
He's on his way.
Not back.
So let's not protect the crux.
Amen.
Let's not keep it as a taboo conversation that we can't speak about, because what it just said in the context is it's affecting our families.
Yeah,
it's going into our children. From experience, my daughter is in human sex trafficking to this day, and my crux has affected my child, and I own that. I am unapologetically unashamed that I didn't get it together enough to protect my child from some of the spiritual things that had I just surrendered to God when he was tapping and knocking and tapping and knocking. He knocked very hard. If I would have just listened, maybe I could have been the spiritual defense that my daughter needed at 14. And I'm well and happy with accepting that, because I know even in my failure to do those things, that his grace and his mercy is sufficient.
Yes.
And in this time of weakness, his power is so strong to the point where I don't lose sleep at night. Not that I'm not a good parent, not that I don't love my child, but I know that whatever God's will is, nor death, nor life, nor principality can come in between what God is going to do in my life. In my daughter's life, and you have. You have to get to the point of surrender, like Jesus said, not my will, Father, but your will. I'm going to take this cup, I'm going to drink it, and I know through surrender and obedience of taking on this challenge that you are going to make all things new.
Amen.
Yes.
I'm going to read the comments. Jesus. Tamala says, Lord, help us to be in touch. Help us to be your touch in the earth. Come on, Tamala. Angela says, what does it look like, Lord? What does it look like? Yes, Angela, ask that question. Holy Spirit, what does my crux look like?
That's right.
Give me a visual so I can actually have something.
So
you know, he will give you that. He will open up your eyes and allow you to see. We got Terrence on. We got Pastor Joe on. That's Yelty's husband. Hello, Pastor Joe. Dee Brown says, you better say that. Stop protecting what we should be delivered and healed from. Ooh, this is
good.
Yes.
Jesus.
That's good.
Glory
to God. We got any more on that page?
Yeah,
we do.
A lot.
I can't handle no more.
Enough. Question, just by the spark of this conversation, are you able to see where you have false lenses of the enemy on on that have caused your perspective to be fogged up, causing a moody perspective and outlook, therefore causing unhealthy habits, possibly passed down generationally?
So can you see some unhealthy habits, some unhealthy behaviors as a result of now us having this conversation? What I realized is being promiscuous. That was a habit that I realized through my crux in my younger years. Thank you, Lord, that is over. I was crazy, y'all. I was crazy. I'm just gonna be real.
Come on.
Things that you shouldn't be doing in bathrooms, you shouldn't be doing. Mm-hmm. The back of cars and parking lots and stalls and stuff through the crux. Mm-hmm. But I thank God for allowing me to realize that wasn't what you need to be doing. Like, it's time to grow up.
Mm-hmm.
And I thank God for the encounters. Mm-hmm. I thank God because I understand what my daughter's going through.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because I can recognize and own my crux that I don't condemn her for the things that she does in promiscuity. Because I understand, I come from a place of understanding.
Mm-hmm.
But how many of us parents who we've done the same thing our children is doing, but we condemn them, we judge them.
Absolutely.
We say, cut that out, this shouldn't be this, this shouldn't be that, but did you do it?
Mm-hmm.
And have you owned the fact that you did it and just maybe, that's poured out onto your generation, onto your children?
Right. Yeah.
And how long are you gonna continue to protect the crux and not speak on it within your family generations
that's
gonna be affected.
Right.
When we gonna stop the spread of infection?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So going into one of the last things on here, identifying, acknowledging, and recognizing Holy Spirit.
Woo! Holy Spirit.
Only by identifying the core or source of our dysfunction, exploring it to fully understand its origin, the point or place where it began, only when we can begin to do the work through and with Holy Spirit to stop relational breakdowns within ourselves, our loved ones, and most importantly, our relationship with the Father, God, Jesus, and Holy Spirit, our comforter. For the Bible says, but the helper, comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place to represent me and act on my behalf, will teach you all things.
All things.
And he will help you remember everything I have told you. That's John 14, verse 26, Amplified. Question, are you willing to explore?
Are you willing to explore? So we just have to leave you with that tonight. Are you willing to explore your crux? Are you willing to first know who Holy Spirit is? Go through the process of intimacy, because it's in that process, it's in that space that true surrender comes. You can't surrender on your own. You just have to make the choice to say, Holy Spirit, I surrender. Teach me what that looks like.
Right.
We have to learn that we have to walk through this thing with him.
Yes.
Too many of us are trying to walk in our own strength, and it's impossible.
It's impossible.
His ways and his thoughts are higher than ours. We can't even fathom what it will take to get some of us through the process. Through the small groups are great. The books are great. The YouTube videos are great. The podcasts are great. Those are additive tools.
Additives.
But nothing is going to bring true wholeness and deliverance but Holy Spirit.
Yes.
He was left here by Jesus, sent here specifically to teach us all truth.
Mm-hmm.
What is the truth? Not only about Abba, but about yourself.
Yes.
Because the Bible says, David said in the Bible, God, give me wisdom to the deepest parts of my heart.
That's right.
So what that means is there's some stuff that my heart is even hiding from myself.
Come on. Wow.
And if you don't give me the wisdom, the insight, the intellect to deal and to know that it's present, I'm doomed from the beginning.
That's right.
Deceitful. And we run around in our emotions, how we feel today and how we feel tomorrow.
God knows my heart.
Yeah, he knows it.
But some people say it and they don't understand what they're saying.
No, they don't.
Because he know your heart is wicked and it's not towards me, but
absolutely.
You say it because
so
it's things
knows
that
your
you want to do.
It's a hot mess.
And you want to do
mess.
Some things and it's really not of God, but I'll say, well, God know my heart and baby, he does.
Yeah.
And you better be careful when you say that, because he does. Because out of the abundance of the heart flows the issues of life.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's coming out is what's in there. So be careful what we're putting in there. Because I tell people all the time, hide the word of God in your heart. That's what we need to do. But Holy Spirit is your friend.
Next week's episode, we will open the discussion with the topics of lies of the enemy. Specifically, three tactics.
Listen, I'm done. I'm wrecked for tonight. I don't even want to read the conclusion. I'm just.
Me too.
I'm ready to go to my war room.
Pretty
I'm
emotional.
Sorry. When I have heavy conversations like this, I just need to go talk to Abba. I just need to get in that space. I'm done.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for joining us. This has been an amazing topic.
Surely, yes.
Relational Breakdowns, Episode 3, Identifying the Crux. Wow. Yeah, I got some work to do. We want to encourage the viewers, get connected to our private community. Listen, God is developing this private community. You send out you can send out your requests for the private community to relationalbreakdowns@gmail.com. We'll send you an informative email that has all the links, all the information. It's $35 donation a month. This helps us continue this ministry. It helps us continue this conversation, and we want to continue for the next 2 months, y'all. And because
with an S,
and because of your donations, I am so happy to say that our rent for the studio is covered for November 8th.
Praise God.
Listen. I'm excited about that because this stuff ain't free, Jesus. But I am grateful that God is creating resources for the vision, because when he gives you something to do, he's going to provide for that thing.
I encourage
you to get connected to the community. You get a thought of the day. I'm preaching on something every day. We are preaching on shifting atmospheres, and it has been good.
Yeah.
I've been learning some stuff just in the conversation.
Amen.
We got the curriculum. Unit 2 is coming out. Yes. I'm excited to see what everyone has. I haven't uploaded the curriculum Unit 2 for all of my members of the private community, but it's going to be on tonight. I promise. Just go on and breathe. and brace yourself. Brace yourself. But we are so excited. We thank you all for joining us. We love you. We thank everyone for your comments. Kamala says we must utilize Holy Spirit daily. A to the man.
Amen.
We are so grateful. We ask that you would join us next week, 5 o'clock. Same time, same bat station. What they say? Same time, same station. We're going to be looking at false lenses of the enemy. My mama's over there cracking up. She rolling, y'all. I'm hot, though. Munching done fell in the room.
Yes.
We're going to be looking at false lenses of the enemy, the lies that he uses, and some of the tactics that he uses. I'm so excited. Private community, we talked about lofty opinions of the enemy, how he puffs himself up against the things of God, and how we have to hold all thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. The word today, the thought of the day in the private community was worship, and how worship is a strategy of warfare. It's a tool to fight your battles from a position of heaven and not from a position of earth. So don't miss out on the stuff that's happening up in the community. We hope to hear from you. We love you all. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Hey there, thank you so much for joining us for episode 3, Identification of the Crux. Wow, what a deep, powerful conversation that was. We are just so grateful that God has allowed us to spark the conversation to some of the deeper things that matter. We're thankful for all of the comments and interactions. We're thankful for the members of the Unapologetically Unashamed private community. We look forward to our next episode. We won't be in studio next week as originally designed, as we will all be taking some time to seek God on a women's prayer retreat, but we will be returning Sunday the 3rd. And we're going to dive deep into the next conversation. We are just so excited for what God is doing in this project, and we hope that you will be looking for us to return November the 3rd. Take care. God bless. Bye now.